You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Now that the trade deadline has passed, teams are going to be focusing on how they want to see 2016 end for them. I am Allison Footer, and we are going to be hearing from our NL and AL West reporters about where their teams are headed. Let's take a listen. Ken, obviously there were some massive needs, and the Dodgers were able to really address a lot of them, maybe not all of them, but adding Rich Hill, Josh Reddick, Jesse Chavez, without having to really skim the top of that organization. So were they pretty pleased after the whole thing was over about what they were able to do?
Management was very pleased. Of course, the asterisk is that Rich Hill has to be healthy. Right now he's not. He's got a blister. And as he said, it was kind of the worst blister he's ever had. So hopefully he'll be able to get back and be activated soon. But until then, they're kind of got their fingers crossed because their rotation is a total mess right now. So, they're getting 4 and 5 innings a start. And that was one of the reasons why they got him. So having him is one thing, but being able to use him is another.
Yeah. I'm sure that when it comes to, because it's a blister, and we've seen blisters that have knocked players out for half of a season. And it can be very detrimental, but I guess because it's not like an elbow issue or a shoulder issue, that it would seem. And I think he's retroactive like from a couple weeks ago. So I guess when he's ready, he's going to be able to come off immediately. So I guess that has to give them a little bit of comfort, right? That it's not going to be like maybe lingering forever.
Well, if they thought that, they wouldn't have gotten him. So right. They obviously think he'll be back, relatively soon. But, less than 2 months left in the season, they don't have Kershaw. They don't have Wood. By now, they don't have Anderson. McCarthy is in and out. So, it's a mess, and they need him back as quickly as they can get him.
So Josh Reddick, very interesting because he was clearly obtained to probably take over in right field. He does really well against right-handed pitching. So that's kind of becomes a little bit of a side topic to what's going on with Yasiel Puig. And now we know that he has been sent down to the minor league. The team had told him that he will either be traded or sent down. Obviously, they couldn't trade him. So where do they go from there? I mean, is there any concern that he's not going to report to the minor leagues? Or is everyone kind of in a holding pattern right now?
I really think they've moved on without him, and they don't really care. I mean, they would like him to report, and they would like him to be the player that he was 3 years ago. But right now he's not. And if he doesn't report, he's going to hurt himself more than he hurts them. So as far as trying to win the pennant right now, they've moved on without him. They've decided he's not the one that's going to do it, that Josh Reddick is. So I think they're hopeful both for trade value, and if somehow he can refine his stroke and a lot of the tools that he once had, and if something were to happen to Reddick, there is a far-fetched scenario that he could wind up back in right field with the Dodgers. But I know management right now is believed that they've moved on.
So getting back to Reddick, the team, just from a player standpoint, they had been pretty excited to get him. I mean, that is a very solid bat, a good teammate, good player, good history. Was that pretty well-received with the Dodgers? Just the guys in uniform?
Well, it was well received, in a win-win, both because of who came and who left. Puig has never been popular in the clubhouse, and the way he plays the game and the way he's been a distraction, and that's no secret. Everybody knows it. And I think that to a certain extent, the players, have wanted management to do this for quite a while, and not because they don't like him personally, but as a player. Despite the flashes of brilliance, he's a distraction, and he doesn't focus, and he doesn't play the game the way everybody else does. And that has taken its toll over the years. And this is not a secret. It's pretty been, well documented. Everybody knows it, and he wouldn't have been sent down if that all wasn't true. So, I think the Dodgers now feel they have a quality player in right field. And that's what the players want. They would have preferred that it had been Puig. But, over the last 3 years, Puig proved that it wasn't him. So, the team went out and got a quality player. And again, they also think they got a quality starting pitcher. And while it might not have been Chris Sale, you know, and he's not active and healthy and in the rotation right now, I think overall the clubhouse was generally pleased that management did trade some prospects for some quality players in the big leagues, and hopefully they'll contribute to making a push so that they can catch the Giants and go further in October.
Here with Richard Justice, who knows everything going on with all 30 teams. Richard, when it comes to the Padres, so the last 2 months they have flipped James Shields, Fernando Rodney, Drew Pomeranz, Melvin Upton Jr., and Andrew Cashner. They got 8 players in return. So that's kind of what they set out to do, right? I don't think that they came into the season thinking that they're going to be World Series contenders, right?
Right. I would say they're in a great spot. And what the Padres need to do right now is leave it all alone. He and A.J. Preller, you have one of the great evaluators of young talent ever. I mean, his track record is unbelievable. And he's a fanatic about this stuff, about getting it right. One of his lines is, the draft is not a crapshoot. And I think in Andy Green, they got a bright and upcoming manager. So the farm system now is better. And as you see, with Janikowski playing, with Rodon playing now, they're younger. They're going to be interesting. Padres fans are going to watch them and say, okay, these guys have a chance to get better. Hunter Renfroe will be here next year. The division in the farm system is that there's really good position players at the upper levels. We'll see them next year. That's what the trade of Matt Kemp opens up. But the pitchers, Anderson Espinosa, Josh Naylor, those guys are probably a year away. So everybody's got to be patient. But these are interesting times to be a Padres fan. And, you know, they went for it 2 years ago. Matt Kemp, Will Myers, all that. They went for it. There's nothing wrong with that. With changing the conversation in your hometown and saying, okay, we're going to give you a reason to come to the ballpark. But now you have to build just a very stable, sound baseball operation. And they have the right people in place, so let's watch them grow.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because, like, a year ago, I was thinking they're in big trouble. I mean, they, like you said, they went for it a couple off seasons ago. They had this, they really just drew a lot of people in attention-wise. And then it didn't work out. And then I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, they got rid of a lot of talent trying to get to that roster, which did nothing. But I guess the Kimbrel trade kind of set off this new wave. And so I guess that in that respect, we have to think that they really aren't as far off as maybe we would have thought a year ago. Is that fair to say?
That's real fair to say. And I would say next year they're going to be fun to watch. Now, how quickly does the young pitching come around? You know, one of our draft picks, Cal Quantrill, hasn't thrown a pitch since Tommy John surgery coming at his career at Stanford. Josh Naylor's a young guy. Espinosa's a younger guy. But these are big, high-end arms. And I tell you, okay, you can't say it enough. Like, the work A.J. Preller did in Arlington as the international scouting director, he was crazy. I mean, he never slept. He found players everywhere. And he will do that in San Diego. And what's happened now, I think, is they, for once and for all, turn the page. Okay, we are who we are. We're going to have to do a traditionally player development system, and we're going to be okay. We're going to do it this way. And I think, you know, AJ builds, when they turn the final corner, and it may be, I think they'll be interesting to watch in 2017, but I think in 2018 they got a chance to compete. This is how you do it. Look, this is how the Dodgers are trying to do it. It's no coincidence that the Rockies are competitive now when they have all those young pitchers that they develop themselves, that's how you do it. You know, that's true for the Red Sox and the Yankees, but it's also true, it's especially true for the Padres, the Rays, the teams that don't have as much money.
So this kind of took everybody off guard. When Colin Ray was returned to San Diego, so they had that big trade with the Marlins, and then Ray got hurt immediately following the trade, and the Marlins, I guess, freaked out a little bit, understandably so, and then they swapped back, and San Diego returned Luis Castillo. So it doesn't sound like there was any funny business. It sort of sounds like Ray himself had felt some discomfort in his elbow and didn't alert anybody, and it seems like everybody was okay with that explanation, right?
Yeah, I think so. It just makes it, well, the two general managers revisited it and said, okay, you're right, well, let's put another player in there. You know, the odd thing is the team that was most disappointed was the Marlins. They really had high hopes for Colin Ray, but they were just uncertain. You know, guy walks off holding his right elbow. You're not, and when you're in the middle of a pennant race, you're not going to do that deal. But it made for some awkward hello goodbyes in the Padres clubhouse, and Colin Ray walked back in the door. So we just have to wait and see how the medical part of it works out. They're happy to have him back. You know, he's a high-end guy that has a chance, if he's okay, to pitch next year or whenever he's recovered. But I thought, you know, the interesting thing was that the two general managers just went right back to work and substituted a player. When Colin Ray walked back in the clubhouse in San Diego, the players were coming up going, "No, we still want you back. It's okay. We were happy with you leaving, but we're happy with you back, too." And, you know, when that happens, sometimes happens, all you can do is laugh about it.
Now that we are past the trade deadline, things are looking a little more clear. Chris, the first thing that I want to ask you about is just moving Jake Peavy to the bullpen. And that was obviously to make room for Matt Moore, who is now a new addition to the rotation. So what made Bruce Bochy select Peavy? You know, what were the circumstances leading up to that he was the odd man out, I guess?
Well, a couple things. Jake wasn't pitching at his best. He's kind of had an uneven season. Started out, his first nine starts were rough. He had something like a 7 or 8 ERA during that period. And then he went through a 7 or so, where he pitched extremely well. I mean, almost like a Jake Peavy of old. I mean, nobody thought there was any problem there with him. But then more recently, he started to, as they say, give it up again. Had some bad luck. He wasn't as ineffective as he was earlier in the season, but he wasn't quite where he had been in the middle of the season. Meanwhile, Matt Cain actually had a couple decent starts in a row that lifted his stock. And so they made the move accordingly. Jake was kind of trending downward. Matt was trending upward at the time. Also, they figured that Jake's, just the way he is, you know, as a pitcher, would lend itself more to pitching out of the bullpen than Matt. So for this combination of reasons, they made the move.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I was reading some of Bochy's comments, and he did sort of mention that maybe PV would be able to warm up faster. Like, it sounds bizarre. Like, why couldn't the guy just come in any kind of situation, a major league pitcher, and just pitch? But there is this thing with starting pitchers where there's a routine, and there's, you're kind of regimented, and getting loose is different for different guys. So I guess, did that have something to do with it?
Yeah, in Jake's case, Jake actually pitched out of relief the other night. His second career relief appearance in about 380 appearances. I mean, something ridiculous. And he was able to get ready fairly quickly. I think in a space of 3 or 4 batters, he was ready. So, I don't think he's found a new lease on life in the bullpen, but I don't think he'll be a failure either. I think he has a chance to help them, kind of like Tim Lipscomb helped the Giants in the postseason in 2012 out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I like that Jake is having a good attitude toward it and not looking at it so much as a devotion as just a circumstance. I believe it was like Grateful Dead night at the ballpark, and he said, "I'm too grateful to be hateful." So could this change? I mean, I guess it could be flipped at some point. I'm sure that Bruce Bochy is not putting any of this in red pen. But I would imagine that could probably change, right, if maybe Kane starts scuffling a little bit and PV starts looking pretty crisp?
You know what? It's open to change. That's just it. I think Matt Cain's been put on notice that he better keep it up.
Yeah. So they did make some moves, obviously. They got Moore, and they got Will Smith for the bullpen. So it's looking pretty good. I would imagine that this was a well-received trade deadline by the team. Were you getting some pretty good vibes after that?
Well, there's one problem. or a couple things. I'd say, actually, maybe it wasn't that well-received. I think there's a lot of mixed feelings. they gave up their number one prospect in the Smith trade. That was Phil Bickford, a starting pitcher. We know he knows what he's going to be. So in fairness to the Giants, there's that factor. But the fans get riled up when they see somebody who's billed as the number one prospect in the organization, you know, quotes around that, get traded. So that bothered people a little bit. Plus, in the Matt Moore deal, they sent Matt Duffy, extremely popular third baseman, to Tampa Bay. And that rubs people the wrong way quite a bit. Matt was very popular, you know, extremely popular to fans, popular to teammates, popular to the media. If I can step off my professional soapbox for a bit, I was bummed when I heard he was traded. And I'll tell you what, general manager Bobby Evans was bummed that he had to make the deal this way. He wanted to make it, as he called it, a prospect-driven deal, not give anybody up off the major league roster. But they had to give up Duffy, and kind of some, not negative feelings, but just sad feelings all the way around.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Hi. I'm great, Allison. How you doing?
I'm good. I never actually say that to anyone I'm doing a podcast. Like, I never say hello. I just move right into the topic. So
you're all business, Allison.
I am all business. Yeah, we're just trying to run through these. So, they did make a move to get a little bit younger. It was the day before the deadline, but it's still considered a trade deadline trade, and that's trading Tyler Clipper to the Yankees for a young right-hander. So, saved them a little bit of money and obviously puts somebody into the system, and that's really what they have to do right now is try to find guys who can play in the big leagues, right?
Yeah, what they were trying to do is not trade anybody who was going to be like a core player for them going forward, but also to try to get a little bit younger. Tyler Clifford's a guy who was under contract for next year, but a veteran, somebody that now that they're out of the race, they really didn't need particularly, right now. So they dealt him and the money he's owed for next year. And they get a right-hander that they like. He was a top prospect at one point before he injured he had Tommy John surgery. So that was something that they really wanted to do. They wanted to get a little bit younger, get some more people in their system. And so that's kind of the way they decided to go. They also had traded Brad Ziegler earlier in the month for a pair of minor leaguers from the Red Sox. So, again, trying to deal some of their veteran pitchers that maybe wouldn't have been with them next year or that were not really necessary right now given how they're playing.
So they decided to hang on to Shelby Miller. Dave Stewart said there was a lot of interest in him, but that wasn't really something that they were going to entertain doing, right? I mean, they can't just give up on him. They need him in the rotation, and you have to think that whatever's happening this year is sort of an aberration, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been so hard for them to have done that because I don't think they could have gotten near what they paid for him, obviously, in the offseason. And why sell low on a guy when you have him coming back for the next couple of years? You have a team that you feel like, that they at least feel like is going to be competitive the next 2 years. So it just really, in my mind, never made sense for them to deal Shelby Miller. Certainly can't be any less valuable than he is right now, given the season that he's having. So why not hang on to him and see what you've got, heading into next year? Right now he's in AAA, he's pitching okay. And they're going to see if they can get something out of him these last couple months to kind of build some positive momentum for next year.
AJ Pollock seems to have taken a step in the right direction, and that's really what all we can talk about at this point. I know we've discussed in the past how important it is for him to be able to maybe actually be activated this year, get into a couple games. He was obviously he's been out since day one. So I guess just baby steps, right? But he faced some live pitching recently.
Yeah, he's faced some live pitching, and he's going to start a rehab assignment soon with their rookie league team here in town. And they think he could be back, maybe even later on in the month of August, which is kind of surprising because it sure looked like when the injury happened that he was going to be out for the rest of the year. But the recovery process has gone better than anyone could have expected, I guess, including the surgeon himself. So, you know, again, they're going to be careful with him. There's no need to rush him or push him to come back. But he seems to really kind of be flying along in the rehab process. So it'd be good to get him back out on the field and have him get maybe a month under his belt here heading into next year as well.
And last but not least, Mr. Zach Greinke. So he is looking like he's going to be making a return. I trust the Diamondbacks. I'm sure that everything's fine at the same time. But it's just that whole oblique thing. And I know he's been out for a while, but those things take a while. So they have no reason to rush him, right? So we have to believe that he is actually ready to come back because this is clearly a lost season for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he was pushing to come back a lot sooner than this, and they kept slowing him down and making sure that he was 100% pain-free before they, you know, started him on the throwing program and making sure that he maintains that 100% pain-free because, again, there's no reason for him to come back if they're not in a pennant race. So there's no reason for him to hurry back, I should say. And the key thing is to keep him healthy and not have him make any changes to his mechanics to kind of compensate for any pain that he might have. So I think they're going to be extremely cautious with that and, of course, watch him very closely to make sure that his mechanics haven't been altered in any way when he does come back.
We've been discussing this for a while, that the Rockies are making a run. Last time we talked, it was just before the deadline, and you prognosticated that they wouldn't be doing anything, and that prognostication came true. So that couldn't have come as a surprise, right, to Stan Pat and go with what they've got?
It wasn't a surprise, except in the hours leading to the deadline, actually, I can almost pinpoint it. It was, 12:45 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday, I started getting texts, hey, the Rockies may be buyers here. They're exploring deals to add, which was a bit shocking. But when I looked at their system, I'm like, how can they give up what they have in the system? Because they're actually using what they have in the system. So ultimately, they didn't make moves, and it made a lot of sense. Even though they're one of three teams that didn't make a trade, it made a lot of sense for them at that time. And they tend not to make deals just because other people do it. I mean, you watched the last two winter meetings. Remember when the San Diego Padres made all the news 2 years ago, and last winter it was the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Rockies didn't do much, took a lot of criticism for it, but their decision to look at what they have and understand what they were building has borne out well for them.
Yeah, it's often you hear like teams that make big moves and then it lifts the clubhouse. You know, you got these guys walking in and they're like really good players obtained for that stretch run, and it sort of gives them a little bit of a shot of adrenaline. It must have kind of been the same feeling to watch Carlos Gonzalez and Charlie Blackmon just walk into the Rockies clubhouse. I'm sure everyone was like, yay, you're still here. They had to feel like pretty good about that, right?
Exactly. And as it neared the deadline, you kind of had a sense from those guys that they're like, why would our management give up on us when we are playing well and we have a chance? Give us a chance. Don't just go out and get a bunch of ringers to see what happens here. And, you know, the other things I was referring to, the Diamondbacks and the Padres, those are more off-season. In-season, the Rockies did get that lift. David Dahl walked into the clubhouse the Sunday before the trading deadline and walked out on the field, and he's had a hit in pretty much every game he's ever played in the major leagues, a couple of home runs, and he's been that guy. And what the Rockies have figured out is they had Tyler Anderson walk in not too long ago and help transform the pitching staff. After an injury to start the season, John Gray transformed the pitching staff. So they're almost conditioned to believe that their help is waiting there in the minor leagues, just waiting on a phone call.
Okay, so you watch this team every day, and I do not. So enlighten me. I mean, when you look at the roster, when you look at the amount of innings that the starting rotation has been averaging, and the amount that the bullpen has had. I mean, is this running smoothly? Does this look like, you know, even if they don't quite make it to the finish line with exactly this, you know, reaching that goal, but are they on track? Are they in a good spot right now, just as far as like maintenance? Now that we're in August, to make a run.
Okay, I'm going to say something just totally counterintuitive here. Going into the year, I would have said no at this point, but right now I say yes, because Tyler Chatwood missed a couple of weeks with an injury. John Gray started the season late with an injury. Same with Tyler Anderson. I mean, all of those guys, there was reason to believe coming into the season that that you were going to have to budget their innings, that they could run out by late in the year because of just various things, like Gray had not thrown a huge number of innings in his past. Anderson was hurt last year. Chatwood, pretty much two years because of Tommy John. Those injuries actually rested their arms, so these guys have a chance now to go all the way to September and the way the Rockies are thinking beyond. So it's a really strange phenomenon that injuries, while they hurt, and they hurt the people, they hurt the team during the time, maybe they've actually helped the team as far as the pitching is concerned.